I'm strapped up.
Tapping, what was that about?
Let's make the fight happen. We strapped the fuck up.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. Episode 27 of a Strap Season podcast. I'm your boy Cam.
I'm your boy Flows.
And just before we get in, the usual, come check us out on all the DSPs. That's Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify. Please make sure you subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment. All of that. Love to get you guys in on all those platforms. So yeah, check us out. Link is in the bio, in our Instagram and Twitter pages. And find yourself a home. But without much further ado, bro, let's get into this week's episode. Only one place to start, if you ask me.
Where's that?
That's with the best boxer in the world.
Saúl.
Yeah, man, he's quick turnaround. It almost feels like yesterday when the Callum Smith fight was. It feels like yesterday. But
2 months.
Two months, literally, which is for, you know, it's quick turnaround. But not surprising because we know what Canelo's on. Obviously, he wants that Cinco de Mayo date, which is a no-brainer, obviously. I mean, that date is usually commanded by the biggest boxers in the world. And Canelo, is fair to say, is the biggest boxer in the world. And he's Mexican. It's a Mexican holiday. It's a no-brainer for them to make sure that he's available on Cinco de Mayo against a big opponent. So this Yodrian mandatory fight was, a no-brainer. It had to happen, really. They had to get him out of the way. We said that it was going to be... We didn't even touch upon it last week, did we? We barely canvassed it. We just literally mentioned it like 2 seconds. Like, we know what's going to happen. Easy work. He should destroy this guy, right? Yeah. And that's pretty much what happened.
Did
you watch the fight?
Yeah, I did. I thought Yodrim... Well, I didn't expect much from Yodrim, but I still thought he'd try and try to do something. But yeah, that was easy work.
I'm not even gonna dress it up. I'm not even gonna be nice about it. Yodrin just came for the bag. Literally, he just came. he came for the payday. That's it to me because people might start being harsh, right? I don't know, it shocked me being harsh, right? Crazy, I've seen a few of Yodrin's fights, right? Before, yeah. Obviously, notably against Chris Eubank Jr., but. Yeah. I saw the fight against Darrell. I've tuned into quite a few of his fights, and I'm not going to say Yodrim is trash, but he's definitely better than what we saw last night. And the reason I feel like he just came for a little paycheck, obviously he's won the Canelo lottery, simple, because of the fact that Yodrim is known for being pretty aggressive, starting fast, putting pressure on his opponent on the back, on the front foot straight away, just super, super aggressive, which obviously I'm there thinking, well, we're probably going to get this aggressive Yodrin, which suits Canelo down to a T because Canelo's a great counterpuncher, right?
Yep. So
he's going to be marching forward. Canelo's just going to time him and knock him out. But that performance yesterday from Yodrin was pretty poor, to be honest. I mean, he didn't want to engage. He literally stood there to be a punching bag. He wasn't aggressive.
I don't know what the game plan was. I don't know what the game plan was.
I was hoping you could fill up what the game plan was from his trainer, because what was he doing in there? Just standing there being a punching bag, literally.
I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to do. I know they're sparring partners. He seemed like he came there friendly. Even when he got knocked out, Mamo was smiling.
Smiling. Not even that. Remember the first round when obviously the bell's gone and he wanted to touch gloves. Canelo just said, nah, started getting straight to work.
It was a celebration for him. It was a happy occasion, man. My main buddy, he was getting in there to have a good time.
Oh, no.
And got out of there when he got sticky.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to touch. Obviously, they're sparring partners previously, so I guess he thought, this cheers for busting me, bro.
But yeah, must be.
Canelo means business still.
It must be, yeah. Yeah. Good to touch upon the fact that the sparring partner. So obviously he knows Canelo inside and out. Having been in cancer, I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
He obviously knows what Canelo is capable of and what he isn't capable of. But at least give a credible account of yourself. That's what I thought, right? As a professional. But yeah. Superman to talk, he's just won the lottery. So he's already thinking of the celebrations afterwards. But yeah, man, I just felt like he could have given a better account of himself just from a professional aspect and from a professional point of view. Just
yeah.
And also just on a prideful point of view, right? Your pride, man, which man up kind of thing. Obviously, there's no way he could win that fight. Actually, I won't say no way, but the odds are...
There's no way.
Hey, man, it's boxing. Lucky punch can happen. It can happen. Lucky punches, right?
But... Lucky punch for Yoji when Golovkin's hit this guy with all his leather.
True, 24
rounds with Golovkin and Golovkin couldn't even wobble
it. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I just felt like the game plan was all wrong from the start. I don't know what, well, in fact, I don't know what the game plan was. Round one, he's coming there with a high guard. So that's just an open invitation for Canelo to rip the body. And Canelo started the body work early. And
he don't need asking twice, Canelo.
He doesn't need asking twice. He was just battering the body as he does. And obviously up, down, whenever Yodrian sort of loaded guard, rip his head. Even though he had the high guard on throughout, Canelo was still getting the punches through the guard quite easily, to be honest.
I mean, he was getting it round with the hooks.
Uppercuts as well.
Yeah.
We've seen Yodrian is quite susceptible to the uppercuts before. I think, obviously, Darrell used to get him a couple of uppercuts and Eubank Jr., I think, got him an uppercut as well. So that was there for Canelo all night. It was crazy, to be honest, because look, I don't know how many, I think I could count on one hand the amount of punches Yodrian landed all fight. I don't think it was more than five, to be honest. Yeah. They were power punches anyways. He jabbed a little bit, but it wasn't authoritative. As we know, Canelo has a way of, no matter how big or how small you are, Canelo's somehow going to out-jab you somehow. Canelo's jab was working nicely. Canelo didn't have to, you know, Canelo usually comes with the head movement and whatnot. He didn't even do anything. He didn't need to. He didn't get out of first gear.
A walk in the park for him.
Such a walk in the park.
It don't look good for the Canelo. I mean, it doesn't help with the Canelo detractors who were outraged by this fight initially for some reason. They were saying, this guy, why is he fighting Yildirim, this and that?
Yeah.
Yildirim hasn't fought in 2 years, all of this. How's Canelo cherry picking Yildirim?
Yeah.
Saying all this stuff.
I want to touch upon that actually. Obviously, because
I mean,
just in terms of obviously, yeah, Canelo had a lot of, he had a lot of detractors because of this, and they were saying how Yodrian made himself, got himself manager and whatnot. So, I'm trying to bring up a story for them.
People don't even realize that Yodrian mandatory. They say Canelo picked this fight, but he's waiting for them.
Yeah. So first of all, let's get out of the way quickly. Let's debunk that one. It's what's the cherry pick from Canelo. Yildirim is with WBC mandatory. That's a fact. And I know you're looking at, hang on, no, he hasn't fought, Cam, he hasn't fought in 2 years, whatever, yeah? I understand that. And the story goes like this. Obviously, Yildirim, back in 2019, I think it was, might have been 2018, he's fought Anthony Darrell for the title. And Anthony Darrell's a champion, so Yildirim's challenged him for it. And that fight was ended due to a clash of heads. And I think a cut opened up over Darrell's eye and they awarded, Yildirim was given a TD loss because of that. I think obviously he went to scorecards and I think maybe Darrell was ahead or whatever on the scorecards. So they gave it to Darrell. Now it was controversial. It was very, very controversial, that ending. And because of the controversy, the WBC have ordered a rematch between Darrell and Yildirim. However, I don't know what sort of happened here, but Darrell's then gone on to fight David Benavidez instead of the rematch of Yildirim. So because Darrell's gone and fought David Benavidez, the WBC have said that, okay, Yildirim, we'll put you as the mandatory so you actually fight the winner of Benavidez versus Darrell. Obviously, Benavidez has won that fight. So Yildirim is now mandatory to Benavidez's title. And I guess the main negotiations for that fight and whatnot. But do you remember when that fight actually didn't happen? Because, well, first of all, I think what happened was Benavidez, remember, he failed to make weight and he lost. So because he failed to make weight, the WBC stripped him. He lost it on the scales. So now that title was obviously vacant. But the fight didn't actually go down because I believe Yildirim then got injured. So because of that injury, the fight was called off. I don't know if it was postponed or called off, but that fight didn't happen. But you got to bear in mind that Yildirim is still mandatory. So obviously, when Canelo has fought Callum Smith for Callum Smith's belt and whatnot, the WBC have put their belt on the line as well. It's vacant right now. So that's how Canelo obviously came into the possession of a WBC belt. But obviously, from all those years ago, 2 years ago, or a year ago, Yildirim still has that mandatory slot because he was meant to fight Benavidez, which didn't go down. And the WBC have literally just come out and said that, Canelo, you've got to fight Yildirim next. Otherwise, we're going to strip you of his WBC belt. And obviously, Canelo, we know what he's on. He said it many times. He's on the legacy team. He wants to unify at 168. That's why Canelo said, okay, let's get this out of the way now.
Yeah,
that's for you listeners. That's a story as to how Avni Yildirim was mandatory for all this time. It stems all the way back to 2019.
Yeah,
and he's fortunate to have come out, as in to he sat on his laurels for 2 years, not forced to 2019. First fight back, it's the Canelo lottery. Congrats, bro! You busted him.
Yeah, and even the WBC, even before the Callum Smith fight, I swear they wanted to order Canelo versus Yildirim for the
WBC. Did. Yeah,
the vacant one.
Yeah, so they did.
That fight was always in the works.
And always.
Credit, let's give credit to Canelo because he's a money man.
Yeah.
You don't see money men fighting within 10 weeks. They usually fight twice a year.
Twice a year, that's it.
That's it. Money Mayweather's model was to fight twice a year.
That's AJ's model now, yep.
Canelo started doing that when he became to America, but now we've seen him as an independent guy. He's doing his thing, independent. Well, he's moving between.
Yeah.
Do whatever he wants, basically. He's a two-fight deal with Matchroom, where they've done the now they're going to do the next one.
We'll get to that.
But you got to give him credit that, boom. Yep. Rather than, okay, he could have had this mandatory at Cinco de Mayo, you know that? Numbers would have turned up.
Numbers would have turned up, but he knows.
He wants to get this out of the way. So credit to him. Go out of the way, boom. You could call it a rubbish fight or whatever, but it's not held up anything that we want to see.
Literally.
In 10 weeks. Yeah. He's beaten a champion previously. People want to diss him on that fight. He's beaten one of the best at 168. Because Callum Smith weren't a joke before
He was the best at 168. Considered the best.
Remember, when he fought Rocky Fielding, people were saying, I bet he won't fight Callum Smith, though.
They said, oh, he can't do that to Callum Smith, though. He could never box like that against Smith. No way.
People thought he just ran up to 168 to grab an easy belt and then come back down.
Exactly.
But my man's here to stay at 168. He's taking them on.
Yep.
So credit to him and credit to him, like, making sure this fight's out of the way, getting it done as quick as possible. And on to the next one.
I know, listen, you say we'll pop a caping for Canelo, but these are facts we're speaking of. These are logical. Like, it's nothing about caping for him or whatnot. This is just it. Like, he couldn't do anything about this opponent. He could do anything about Yildirim's performance. That's not on him. All he had to do was do his job, get it out the way, and the bigger fights will come, which we knew. So, yeah, Yildirim's performance isn't on Canelo. It's not a cherry. That's on Yildirim, his bad performance. It was funny because, like, yeah, obviously, just to finish off the sort of the fight breakdown, Yildirim's offered nothing for 3 rounds. It's fire because, literally, I don't know if you clocked, like, in the third round, obviously, the fourth round's coming up now, so they've gone back for the third. I've finished the third round. You hear his corner man saying, "If you don't show me anything in this fourth round, I'm gonna pull you out. I'm putting you out." And the thing is, he was talking to Yildirim, but Yildirim just wasn't there. Like he wasn't even he wasn't responding. He wasn't doing anything. He was just like just a dumb look on his face. Yeah. And I think his corner man said it like four. His trainer said it like 3 times. If you don't show me anything, I'm gonna pull you out. Are you okay? Are you good? He's not really responding. And obviously they've rung the bell or they've gone to ring the bell now and suddenly out of nowhere they've said that, oh, the fight's been stopped. So Yildirim's quit on his stool. No mas.
Yeah.
He's quit on his stool. Fair enough. He's got his money. The lottery's there. Boom, boom, boom. Easy work. As we expected. It's funny as well, actually. Just a quick sidetrack, because I don't know if you saw Chris Eubank Jr.'s tweet about, oh, yeah, why is Canelo fighting Avan Yildirim? Okay, fine. Since he's the best in the world, he should be knocking him out in one round. Let's see. Yeah. First of all, Chris, you need to go find yourself a fight, first of all.
Speaking from the bleachers.
I don't know why you're trying to drop, oh, yeah, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. Brother, go secure yourself a fight. You said you were going to get a fight last year. We don't know who you're fighting still. You've now moved wherever. You've now Team Southland. I still see no fight. Your name is not even ringing bells in the streets no more. Bro, focus on that. Let Canelo do his thing. But yeah, easy three round corner stoppage, TKO, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, as expected. So we mentioned that obviously Canelo has the bigger picture in mind, right? He's trying to give us a large picture. So, after the fight, they've announced his next opponent, which I guess is the biggest, or no, not even the biggest, or the worst kept secret in boxing right now, who his next opponent was going to be, right?
Yeah.
I think we called it a couple of weeks ago. So it's close to being announced. It's obvious. It's been obvious for quite a while.
Yeah, it was a done deal.
It's been a done deal for a while now. It's just only a matter of time for when they can announce it, and they have announced it. They put a nice little videotron on the screen, nice little promo. Billy Joe Saunders is next. May the 8th. So for Cinco de Mayo, which is probably the biggest, date in the boxing calendar, to be honest. That used to be Mayweather's day. That used to be Oscar De La Hoya's day. It's now Canelo's day. Congrats again, Billy Joe Saunders. You just won the lottery. But the difference is, Billy Joe can actually fight. And he's actually a very good boxer.
Yeah.
I feel like we've almost semi-previewed this a couple times on the pod. Yeah, obviously, we haven't gone in depth. Obviously, we haven't gone in depth. But, and obviously, I think close to the date, we'll give the proper preview. But I think from what I said before, in terms of if I see anyone capable of beating Canelo, or if Billy Joe was to match up with him, who am I picking? I pick Canelo then, and I'm still staying with Canelo. I just can't see how Billy Joe can beat Canelo. But once again, I reiterate that Billy Joe Saunders definitely has the skills to trouble Canelo. He has the skills to win. Mm. It's just that he's going to have to be perfect to do it. And he won't be perfect. So, yeah. I haven't changed my opinion on the winner of that fight or how it goes down. But I'm just excited that it's happening, because obviously, you know what I'm on. I know what you're on. We just want to see the best fight the best. And these are two of the best at 168. So, happy days for me. What about you? What were your thoughts to it? Your thoughts of towards the fight? Anything changed or same sentiments?
Yeah, I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah. Do you still think Billy Joe Saunders is undeserving of the fight?
No, he's got a belt. He's got what Canelo needs. So yep. Canelo's got to go get that.
Yep.
Simple as. When you say deserving, I don't think... I'll put it more this way. I can't look at what Billy Joe's... he's beaten in terms of performances as to any indication of whether he can beat Canelo, if he deserves to beat Canelo. His resume isn't the best. His best wins in Lemieux, which was a great win, fantastic win. Uh-huh. But even if Billy Joe is perfect on the night, which, like, I agree with you, he has the tools to actually beat Canelo. He has the ability to potentially do it. And even if he's perfect, Canelo will have to have a terrible day for Billy Joe to win.
Yeah.
And Canelo doesn't have terrible days.
Never.
He hasn't had a terrible day in a long time.
Yeah.
Canelo will still be competitive in there.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before, even if Billy Joe's perfect, like boxing and moving, he has to make Canelo look silly for him to win. I mean, like silly, like make him miss badly.
Like he did with Lemieux.
Like what Mayweather done to Canelo.
Exactly.
And there's a difference between Lemieux and Canelo, and there's a difference between Billy Joe and Mayweather. So
yeah,
it's a tough ask, but Billy Joe has the tools. Like, he's got a box and move.
Yeah.
And he can't let Canelo lay a glove on him.
Yeah.
Because if Canelo does, he's going to feel it.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to feel it. So, yeah, I see a Canelo win.
We're going to see.
By stoppage.
Yeah. Well, you reckon by stoppage?
Way. No, but it could be whichever way.
Yeah.
Depends how, I don't think Billy Joe's going to be on the night. If he's perfect, then it won't be by stoppage.
Yeah.
If he's not perfect, he could get stopped.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with that. Fully agree with that. I'm intrigued to see the just the promo they put up for this one as well. Because obviously we know what Billy Joe gives. He's incredibly lippy. Incredibly lippy. He's super mouthy, super confident. He will give it and he doesn't really stop. Like he will keep giving it. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously we see Canelo is just, I guess, coolness personified, right? Cool, calm, demeanor. You rarely sort of see him get riled up a couple of times, but usually the guys that ride him up are obviously the opponents that speak Spanish. I've seen him get riled up a little bit with Lara and I think Chavez Jr. But overall, he doesn't really rise to it. So it'd be interesting to see
the back and forth with Billy Joe.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be interesting to see if Billy Joe is able to sort of entice him to come out and have a back and forth with him, or if Billy Joe can get in his head a little bit. I doubt it, but yeah, I'm intrigued to see how that plays out.
I don't think it's going to happen because Canelo's had a lot of people talking smack to him.
Yeah.
Remember with the Golovkin fights? They were calling him a cheater. They were saying, he's not Mexican. I'm more Mexican than you. They were dissing him.
Yeah.
He didn't bite. He just went in there and beat the brakes off Golovkin in the second round.
I said beat the brakes. I wouldn't say that, but yeah.
Anyway, but he walked him down.
He won the story of the fight.
He won the story of the fight. I want to say, beat the brakes is an exaggeration, but yeah. He just does his talking in the ring.
Yeah.
Remember, Mayweather was trying to corner him. Well, obviously, Mayweather outskilled him big time, but there's people who've tried to make him bite, and he doesn't really bite too tough, so I don't think it's going to affect him.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, happy it's finally, because well, to be fair, this was confirmed last, it was meant to happen last year and it fell through. In fact, my biggest advice to Billy Joe is just stay in camp and don't do anything stupid. Because the only way this fight is flopping is because of you. You'll either do something dumb tweet or whatever, or do, a dumb video be released of him and it's called off. Billy Joe is sometimes his own worst enemy when it comes to antics outside the ring. So, And Billy Joe, you better be as focused as you can be. I do think he's the type of fighter that sort of rises to the occasion, depending on who he fights. But yeah, so I'm anticipating a really good, in shape, focused Billy Joe. And he's got, like we said, he's got to be perfect, more or less. So,
Another piece of credit.
Yeah, go on.
I want to give it to Canelo. Uh-huh. Now he's independent. There's no such thing as side of the streets.
Yeah.
He's coming to your front door.
Yeah.
You're with Matchroom, okay, I'm there.
Yep.
Two fight deal, make this one happen. You're on Matchroom.
Yeah.
I imagine he'll strike a deal with a PBC or whatever.
Next. Yeah, just for Caleb Plant. Yeah. And is Benavidez PBC or is he top rank? I think he's PBC.
I think he's PBC as well.
He might be PBC. So that suits him, I guess. Because at 168, who's left? Obviously, at 168, it's just obviously Billy Joe, Caleb Plant, and obviously, I guess the other big name. Obviously, he hasn't got a belt right now, but Benavidez is a big name in the division. So,
well, Golovkin rematch is still there as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's
still
a money fight.
I mean, I think
they're going to squeeze that in.
I see a lot of people calling that he'll clean up 168. So, Plant and obviously BJ dusted, and then maybe have that third fight with Golovkin. That's the trajectory they're on. By the time he gets to that third fight, Golovkin will be 40, I swear. So we ain't trying to see that. There's no point in that one.
I'm trying to think out how best he should do it, because Caleb Plant's still improving. Let's say he beats Billy Joe. Does he take Golovkin next, or does he go for Caleb Plant? Because the longer Golovkin waits, the less interest it takes.
And the peak for Golovkin too.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he could squeeze in the Golovkin one right after Billy Joe, you know? He said he wants to fight, what, four times this year?
Did it?
I think he said something mad like that. He wants
this
to fight.
This guy is mad.
So he'll do Cinco de Mayo, two. Yep. He'll do a September date, and then he'll do a December date again.
Mm.
So he could wax everyone within this year.
Imagine that. Like we said before, he's on this legacy thing, and you can't chat to his resume. What he's on now is on that greatness, goat talk level. You feel me?
Yep.
This
it was to be the greatest fighter in Mexico, you say?
Well, yeah. He said he wants to be bigger. We're seeing it before our eyes. It's unfolding before our eyes. Like, by the time this run is done, and if he has pretty much wins under his belt for, during this run, you can't chat to him. You can't. He is up there with the goats. That's it.
Yeah.
even if he retires today, you might consider him. Obviously, he's future Hall of Famer, we know, but you might consider him up there as a modern day goat. So, yeah, man, I'm here for it. I'm trying to see how far this Canelo train can run. And yeah, he's ducking nobody. So I'm happy. I'm happy about that, man. Very happy about that. But yeah, that's sort of on the Canelo side of things. One other topic I want to talk about, actually. I don't know, did you see the drama unfold between Teofimo Lopez and the George Kambosos Jr. purse bids?
Yep, that's been ongoing for a while.
A lot of drama happened there. I want to talk about that, actually. So I guess I'm trying to think where best to start, just to sort of fill the listeners in. Obviously, Teofimo Lopez, we know he beat Vasily Lomachenko for the belts. Wonderful win last year. Might say given Boxer of the Year last year. And he said one of his mandatory fights, if you remember, I think later on in the year, we've seen George Kambosos Jr. take on Britain's own Lee Selby for obviously the mandatory shot at one of Teofimo's belts. I'm not sure if it's the IBF. I'm not sure which belt it was. Is the IBF? Okay, it's the IBF. Cool. So obviously Kambosos won that. Great performance. I think we both said we were fans of his performance. We liked him. First time I seen him fight and he was really good. So yeah, he's got that mandatory position now. So this fight has gone to purse bids.
Explain why it went to purse bids.
Yeah, so it's only gone to purse bids because Teofimo is signed to Top Rank, right?
Yeah, and Bob Arum.
Bob Arum, Top Rank, Uncle Bob, and Top Rank have their fights on ESPN. And I guess Top Rank, I guess they didn't feel like the fight was. Did it go to purse bids? Because Top Rank didn't believe in the fight, basically. They didn't think it was a big fight. And they didn't want to pay them a certain purse.
It was, yeah, I think Teofimo weren't happy with the money ESPN were offering, or Top Rank were offering. He said he wants more. They offered him 1.25 or whatever to start with, and he wanted more.
Yeah.
So obviously, because they couldn't negotiate after a certain time.
That's how it works, yeah. They have a certain amount of time to agree with the governing bodies and whatnot, and the fighters when the fight's taking place, and the purses. And because of the fact that they couldn't agree on it, obviously Teofimo, not being happy with the deal, the fight has gone to purse bids. And when it goes to purse bids, it's basically like networks and promoters bidding to hold the fight. So the fight's gone to purse bids now. And that means it's sort of open to everyone to bid. Top Rank have put in a bid of, I think it's like 2.5 million.
Yeah.
About 2.5 million. Mm. And obviously how it works is, I think 65% of a purse goes to Teofimo. The rest of it goes to George Kambosos Jr. And also from Teofimo's purse, I believe Top Rank have a 20% fee. Like, they take out the cut out of his purse.
Okay.
So that's happened now. So Top Rank are putting in a bid of 2.5 million. Eddie Hearn, Matchroom, have cheekily then also put in a bid of about 3.5 million. Which was, I guess, funny because Eddie Hearn had sort of joked around saying he might bid on this fight. Bearing in mind that Eddie Hearn he's got no deal with any of the fighters. So he obviously, Teofimo is promoted by Bob Arum and George Kambosos Jr. is a Lou DiBella fighter. So I guess, it's kind of cheeky from Hearn to, I guess, put in that bid, but he said he was going to do it anyways, and he did, 3.5 million. And from out of nowhere, Triller, yes, that's the app, Triller. I don't know if everyone, it's kind of like TikTok, it's an app like TikTok, isn't it, Triller? You sort of do music videos on it and stuff. It's It's one of these type of apps, these social media apps, Triller, yeah? Never used it myself personally, but I've seen it before.
They're the ones who done the thing.
They're the ones who did the Tyson, Tyson, the Roy Jones Jr. fight.
Okay.
So Triller have come in with a whopping bid of like 6.5 million. So they've outbid everyone, smashed everyone to pieces, and they've won the purse bid. So Triller have won the rights to host that fight. That 6.5 million is going to be divvied up between Teofimo and George Kambosos. So 65% of that 6.5 is going to Teofimo. So yeah, so Kambosos is going to end up with what, 2 million, and Teofimo is going to end up with whatever. So it's, well, 4 million or whatever. So it's just, yeah. I guess you could say it's sort of a change. I wouldn't say changing of the guard, but Triller obviously is not they're a social media app. They're not known for boxing. Obviously, they first delved into boxing when it came to obviously the Roy Jones Jr. Tyson fight. But the traditional boxing platforms and traditional boxing people lost that bid. And Triller, I guess, are trying to disrupt the market. I think a conversation can be had in terms of, I guess, the future, because obviously boxing has sort of been opened up more to casuals in that sense. Obviously, we're seeing it more with the YouTubers now and obviously these old exhibition fights. There's a lot of talk about Tyson versus Evander Holyfield as the next exhibition fight and whatnot. And I think other companies, social media companies such as Triller and whatnot, are cooking on to the power and, you know, the viewership with this kind of stuff. So they're throwing big money in behind boxing to sort of get involved. And I guess Ed Hearn was overjoyed. He said, yeah, I mean, this is disruptive. When he came with DAZN, they were out, you know, they were putting a lot of money up. They were overpaying for fights just because obviously they had to disrupt the market to sort of get their name in there. And I think we're seeing something similar with what Triller are doing. Like we said, they don't really have any business, you know, hosting a world title fight between Teofimo and George Kambosos. But here they are with 6.5 million being thrown out of purse bid for a mandatory defense. Not even a big, it's not even a massive fight. It's just a simple mandatory, right? So, it's very interesting to see that happen.
I mean, Teofimo Lopez should be a star already. Like, really, truly, he's just beaten some people's pound for pound king. He's beaten him. And the shame is that it's probably going to be stuck on like a Jake Paul card or something.
Yeah.
Or with Logan Paul, because they're doing the Logan Paul v. Mayweather fight, I think, Triller. And then the Jake Paul versus...
Yeah. Jake is fighting, was it...
Ben Askren.
Yeah, Ben Askren, yes.
And UFC fighter, or former UFC fighter.
So, the Triller, I guess the CEO of Triller or whatever, has come out and I think he got interviewed and he said that they're looking at it being a co-main event with another fight. And obviously that other fight can either be a Jake Paul or Logan Paul or even Evander Holyfield Tyson if that goes over the line. But yes, they said either a co-main event or a main event by itself. So pros and cons, I guess, because obviously they're bringing more viewers to the boxing market and whatnot. But at the same time, this is one of our best fighters, one of the best fighters in the world, pound for pound, arguably number one, right? Arguably.
It's good for Teofimo Lopez.
And he's very good. It's good for him, but it's like...
Good marketing, good money. Yeah,
but obviously, we're boxing men, so we respect the sport a lot. He's playing second fiddle to a sort of sham of a fight in Logan Paul Mayweather or Jake Paul Ben Askren. If he is the co-main event, really and truly, he should be the main event, but yeah. If he does play second fiddle to those guys, it's one of those ones, I guess. But okay, that's what the sport is now. Obviously, once they opened the sort of YouTube lane and the exhibition lane, you sort of knew this was coming. But there has been a bit of a fallout from this, obviously. Uncle Bob, as usual, is not happy. First of all, he was vexed at Hearn for bidding. He said, he basically said that Hearn had no business bidding because he's got no relationship with both fighters. They're both not matching fighters or DAZN fighters. So why is he bidding for it? He felt it was cheeky. And
you see, he was trying to put him off bidding. He was saying, it's not a smart idea for Hearn to bid because we're in talks for another fight and that could damage that talk.
Yeah,
which didn't make any sense. But
Uncle Bob needs to, as usual, he needs to relax. yeah, he said about next time they're going to jam something up there, you know, I guess try and outbid them for their other stuff as well. So if that's the case, that's the case. But I mean, Home was free to, Matchroom were free to bid for it. I mean, it's Perspid, for example, yeah, for Granite Loud, it's there to bid for. So
it doesn't make sense with Barbarian. How can he say her bidding on this fight would affect negotiations for another fight? Like, you got to remember, Bob, the fighters are your clients. You're not the boss. This guy's acting like he runs everything. And Tyson Fury is your client. You're meant to deliver the AJ fight for him. To say that if Hearn bids on this fight, that means it's going to ruin negotiations for two separate clients. It doesn't even make sense.
And I think that's where the disconnect lies between, it's such a weird relationship as well, because they slag each other off all the time. But obviously once fights between their fighters get made, they're doing pally, buddy. But I think the overall disconnect lies in the fact that obviously Bob is so old school with it. He's like 90 odd, right? He's ancient. And I think he's got that old school mentality of him being the boss and the fighters work for him. While Hearn, I think, obviously being newer school, he's realized that, no, he's not the boss. He works for them. He works for AJ. He works for Canelo. He works for all these. That's where I think the initial disconnect between Bob Arum and Eddie Hearn is. Bob, I just think Bob is just, he's a bit of a dinosaur sometimes in his thinking. And he's handling the fighters. Because obviously now this Perspid drama has sort of damaged the relationship with Teofimo. Teofimo is not a happy boy. He wasn't happy.
He's happy by the outcome, but he wasn't happy during the negotiations.
He's very happy with the outcome because he's made a lot of money from just a mandatory defense, not even a massive mega fight. It's just a mandatory. But obviously, before leading up to this, he wasn't happy with Top Rank because of the fact that obviously he felt like he was lowballed. They weren't taking care of him. They didn't offer him the money he felt he was worth. He had a figure in his head what he knew was worth, and that's why he rejected their initial offer. He's come out and said that, you know, he's super disappointed in Top Rank, and the I think the head of ESPN, the boxing head at ESPN or whatever, so he's not happy with them, and he feels like they've lost their. I think he come out and said that, you know, they might have just lost their best fighter because he's not happy at all with the whole what Top Rank and ESPN done. So he's not happy.
He even said that he was disappointed in Bob Arum telling other promoters not to bid on it. He said they're cock-blocking him or something. It's like you'd say there's a disconnect between Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum. Now there's a disconnect between Bob Arum and his own fighters.
And we mentioned it with what Terence Crawford recently has come out and obviously aired out his grievances with Top Rank. This is becoming quite a thing. So clearly, the way Bob is dealing with handling these fighters isn't right. And Bob's even come out and said something about, obviously, yes, he's well done to him for obviously getting this money from the Perspid and whatnot. But if he thinks like he can come back to Top Rank for his next fight and command a certain fee or whatever, he needs to wind his neck in. And you can't say that. That's not how you deal with your fighters, bro.
You can't beefing his own fighters.
Why are you I think he even made a joke about how he can ice Teofimo and obviously not have him fight certain fights or whatever. And it's like, bro, that's not how you handle a situation. That's really not how you don't want to pitch. This is a future cash cow. In fact, he could be a cash cow now. So yeah,
after this, it's a big move for him.
Yeah.
And a brave move. He's going to get super marketing and super publicity from it.
Exactly.
We know he's charismatic as well. So
imagine
that whole new audience he's going to get.
Exactly. So I just feel like Uncle Bob has handled this wrong. And fair play to Teofimo and George Kambosos. Let me pick up George Kambosos as well, because obviously, you know, for his first title shot, he's getting a fee of upwards of $2 million. Congrats to him, man. Congrats to both of them. They both hit the belly. And well done, Teofimo, for, I guess, believing, you know, just backing yourself and believing your worth and your value. Because 100%. He could have accepted that first Top Rank offer. And yeah, he didn't. He knew that what he had an idea in his head what he was worth and should have come through and blessed him. So fair play to him. Also sort of took note of the little back and forth he had with Leonard Ellerby as well. I guess Yeah, before, I guess, I think Leonard Ellerbe was sort of, he was a bit disapproving initially, I guess. Because obviously, you know, there's been back and forth between Teofimo fighting Tank and who is the A-side. You know, I hate this talk in boxing right now, but we're hearing it every time. Fighters beefing over who's the A-side and who's the B-side and whatnot. And obviously, Mayweather Promotions, you know, stand firmly behind the fact that Tank is the A-side. Obviously, they'll throw up the numbers Tank does with the PPV buys and whatnot. And obviously, the crowds he brings in. And Teofimo will say, well, I've just beaten Lomachenko, who's the best in the division. So what are you trying to tell me? So there's been back and forth between them. But obviously, when the initial announcement was made that Kambosos and Teofimo was going to purse bids, Leonard Ellerbe, you know, he sort of quote tweeted and said, oh yeah, reality check is coming soon for Teofimo. And obviously now, a couple of days later, the results of how much they're getting, Teofimo is, you know, quote tweeted saying, oh yeah, the takeover with a smile, because obviously he's just got the bag. And then Ellerbe's like, oh yeah, best of luck to you in your career. The sarcasm in that tweet was so apparent. But I'm just looking at Ellerbe's Twitter and he's there saying how, oh yeah, basically, you know, he's calling himself a takeover or whatever, but you know, he's gonna be co-main event, or he's gonna be on the undercard to a bunch of YouTubers or whatnot, or the Evander Holyfield Tyson fight. So that sort of back and forth between Teofimo and Leonard just told me that, you know, the Tank fight is not gonna happen. In fact, I would say never going to happen, but it's not happening anytime soon, because we know what Mayweather Promotions are on with Tank.
Feed him cherries, I'm telling you.
Literally, as much as they can, they're going to feed Tank as many cherries. And a part of you can say, why wouldn't they? Because Tank is a star to a certain degree, and he keeps on bringing the bums. He brings the casuals because he's got an exciting fight style and he knocks people out. So he always keeps putting bums in seats and getting a lot of pay-per-view buys. So, I just feel like they're just going to ride this Tank wave until they're forced to put him in there with a good opponent.
It's annoying because you can see the difference between Teofimo Lopez and these other fighters nowadays. He's got a different mentality.
Facts.
He's willing to shake and move to make things happen. I think Tank... Because a lot of these, especially Al Haymon fighters, they just sit there and nod their heads to what Al Haymon and whatever they're advising. And the same with Mayweather Promotions. They're just sitting and nodding with Mayweather. They're all just sitting there nodding to what they say and say, oh, this is the plan for you. And this is what we're going to do. If you want to fight the best, make that known. Make that be known and say, this is what I want. Make it happen. And I think Teofimo has had the least fights out of all these men. He's had 16 fights. And he's already
14, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, Comey, Lomachenko. Kambosos is no joke. He's in mandatory, but Kambosos showed us he can fight. He's there. He's there to fight. He'll give a lot of these guys help.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's making things happen. And I'm like, that's rare to see. The fact that he values his worth. If Tank wants these big fights, he's going to have to start demanding them, because they're not going to give him anyone serious. He's not going to have the Ryan Garcia fight soon. He's not going to face Devin Haney. He's not going to face Lomachenko, certainly not. He's not going to face Teofimo Lopez, not for time. And he's the oldest out of these young cats.
Yeah,
he's just chilling on these people telling him, like, your pay-per-view star, you're the next Mayweather. Boom. Which is fair, but then if he wants to have these big fights soon, then he needs to start banging on doors.
That's why I'm hoping that eventually, obviously, people will always tune into Tank, but eventually the fans will have enough and they'll be there getting onto him, putting pressure onto him and saying, yeah, but so-and-so's fighting so-and-so and you're fighting this guy or that cherry and this cherry. And maybe eventually with enough fan pressure, he can then start, you know, sitting down with Mayweather and Ellerbe and saying, look, the fans are saying this, you know, my rep is falling. I need to be fighting these guys, the big guns. So hopefully he gets to that stage. But yeah, I think right as of this moment, that fight is I'm way more confident in the other three getting it on than Tank. I don't see Tank seeing any of them anytime soon, to be honest. And that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Because Tank is there. The fan base is there. The fights are, you know, it's just there. Everything is there for him. He's just, yeah, man. That side of the street, they see a cash cow and they're going to keep on milking him. That's it, really.
Yeah, it's a shame. But people should follow Canelo and Teofimo Lopez's stance. Just go independent or shake the room until someone else comes and gets you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Top Rank need to do, because if they lose Crawford and Teofimo, that's big losses. That's two big losses right there.
Yeah, that's what I mean about Bob Arum holding the keys. They've got Teofimo Lopez, they've got Crawford, they've got Josh Taylor, they've got what's it called? Tyson Fury.
Yep.
All the keys to all the undisputed in every division.
It's true. Much. Very, very true.
So yeah. And even Tyson Fury's not had a fight in a year. He's wanted one. He's not had a fight yet, so he might be a bit upset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Bob needs to get his house in order, boy.
This is fighters and telling them, like Tyson Fury must be thinking, wait, what are you talking about? He's going to disrupt the fight if Eddie Hearn bids on Teofimo Lopez. That doesn't make any sense.
Tyson's there thinking, look, bro, this is a $100 million fight for me. there's no disruption. This. You better not disrupt it, boy. Yeah, but minimum 100 M's for both of them. So, yeah. Yeah, luckily, I mean, Hearn sort of assured that, you know, obviously, you know, Bob talks a lot and I think he threatens a lot, but it's all bluffs and whatnot. And said that it's not going to affect that at all. Obviously, they're still in negotiations every day trying to sort that out. And negotiations will be going super well, apparently. So, yeah, fingers crossed that nothing gets disrupted. And, yeah, we get that fight soon. We get that fight announced sooner rather than later. But, yeah, it's just something to keep an eye on, I think, what happens to Teofimo. I don't know how many fights he's contracted to Top Rank for, or if it's like or when he's contracted to all them two. But yeah, he's not happy, and that's a young, hungry champion who knows his worth. So he's shown he's not shy about making his voice known. So they better fix him up.
Yeah.
One more thing I quickly want to touch upon. Joseph Parker returns to action on the weekend. Did you catch his fight with Junior Farr?
Yes, a bit of a snooze fest, that one.
yeah. It wasn't the most exciting fight, I'll be honest. I was hoping for it to be some fireworks because they know each other very well and they fought in the amateur days and they've had sort of like a domestic rivalry apparently for quite a while.
A lot of back and forth between them.
Yeah, but it was very anticlimactic, to be honest. Yeah, Parker got the W deservedly, I felt, for it, but I can't say he looked great, to be honest. I can't say he looked amazing. He sort of just did enough. Didn't really go through the gears, really. Sort of did enough to get the W.
It was a weird one because Fire actually fought a good game plan. It wasn't entertaining. He was like, his jab was decent. He was clinching and he was almost timing when to throw punches just outside of the clinch almost. He had a good game plan. He just made it rough and ugly kind of thing. And in the end, it was a close fight, really. But it went exciting. It went great. You expected more trading. It was a lot of clinching and just...
Yeah, a lot of spoiling.
Just punches within the clinches and stuff like that. But
Joseph
Parker, Chisora next, apparently. But we'll see what happens.
Do you think Parker is still, I guess, a commendable threat in that division? Or... do you still have him placed? Do you know how we ranked the heavyweight? We put AJ and Fury in sort of in their own tier above.
Yeah.
And then sort of you've got just underneath. So I guess guys like Dylan White. I think we might have put Parker in that tier as well, potentially, as the Usyks and the Joe Joyces, maybe. Do you still see him around that sort of that sort of ilk, or do you reckon he's even below them now?
Yes, we have to see how he looks against Chisora. I think he beats Chisora. If he loses to Chisora,
that's damning. That's bad.
I think he beat, but I just don't think he's powerful enough. And his whole thing was relying on his speed. We didn't really see speed in display.
I was quite surprised.
So there's a question mark on that one because I guess he was fighting on the front foot, really. So, but even then, his combinations.
That's when he's best.
You usually see his hands go and whatnot. but I'm quite surprised by that performance. Yeah. I don't know, maybe because how long's he been out the ring for? Quite a while.
Maybe Ben Russell.
I still think he's a good test for these guys. He beats a lot of the top heavyweights or the level below the top heavyweights. Anyone who has aspirations to be at the top level, you'll see Joseph Parker almost.
Yeah.
So if you're not beating him, then you're not ready.
I think the question mark with him has always been, is he too nice? And when I say that in terms of, we obviously the Dillon White fight, it was, I guess, the one that sort of brought it to the mix. You know, Dillon made that fight ugly. You know, he sort of brought the mongrel out and he took it to the trenches, and Parker wasn't willing to go there and get nasty with him.
Yeah.
I think, that's always been the question mark of Parker. You know, has he got that mean streak enough in, you know, to be competing with these guys? Because he comes across as the nicest guy in the world. In the ring, I watch him and you see the beautiful combinations and the speed, but you don't see that killer.
Yeah, there's like
in what you see a killer. Other fights, you see a killer in there, and I've never got that with him. Never. I do like him a lot, but I've never got that. Oh yeah, he's a killer. Oh, when he smells blood, he's gonna take you out. I've just never gotten that with him, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes it just, that's just you. You know, sometimes you can't learn that.
Yeah, he's not the type to be getting people out of there kind of thing, finishing people off. But he can box. That's what we've known him for. He can box. So that's why I think at this level, especially with some of these heavyweights, they're not really the best boxers.
Yeah.
And if you can box and show a bit of skill, then you can beat a lot of these guys. But we'll see. Chizuru Parker is a good fight. Yeah. I think Chizuru's finished, so we'll see. But He keeps getting these good fights. It's not even
because he's had like a mini resurgence, isn't he, with his career, obviously, and a couple of good performances here and there. Obviously, the Spilker knockout sort of were big for him. Yeah. And I guess the loss to Usyk was commendable. He didn't get washed, which, looking at the resumes, you might have thought he would. So, yeah, I guess there's still a bit in the tank left of Chizora. But yeah, I think once he gets to like 3 losses in a row, that's when you start questioning, okay, maybe it's time to pack it in, Chizora. But he's had a good enough career. He's made a lot of money, I'm sure. So, but yeah, I expect Parker to be going through that. And if he doesn't, it's a big indictment on Parker and where he's at today.
Yeah, it's definitely.
So we'll see. We'll look out for that one. It hasn't been officially announced, has it?
No.
Nah, it's just in discussion.
I know Chizora has been calling him out for time.
Yeah. I think it was meant, they were talking about it last year even. So
yeah.
We'll see. I'm definitely tuned in anyway. It should be an exciting fight, that one. But yeah, let's leave it there, man. We just got to see Canelo being Canelo. And a bit of boxing, inside boxing news. Well, like I said, we'll see how this TFMO situation plans out. And yeah, we'll see if we'll see any other apps or media platforms bidding for boxing now.
TikTok fight suit.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm saying that you can see TikTok, you can see Instagram, like it's opened up. I mean, that's what Trillion did was a massive bid, outbidding these recognized platforms by a lot as well. Boy, so they're plotting over there for sure.
Damn.
We'll see what else happens.
Gone are the days of HBO, Showtime.
Yeah, dominating. Man. Yeah, man. HBO sort of, I guess they saw where the direction was going. They called it quits.
Yep.
The reason for leaving boxing was literally they don't have the money to compete anymore, as opposed to these other platforms and whatnot, which is why they got out of the game.
Yep.
The zones come in, overpaying for fights, signing everyone literally, and obviously disrupting. And now the zone are establishing themselves. Obviously, ESPN will always be established, and
ESPN had to adapt though.
They had to. They put their own little streaming service now, I think, and they changed the way their model was run. Obviously, we've got Showtime are still around, but not in the same capacity as before. They're definitely not as active before. Obviously, PBC have a deal with Fox, so they will always be there as well. But yeah, man, the game is changing. the battle for boxing supremacy is raging for sure. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, episode 27 of the Strap Season podcast. Thank you for locking in. Please stay locked in. Check us out on all the platforms. Like I said earlier, give us a review, subscribe, like, leave a comment, all of that. I've been your boy Cam.
I'm Flo's the Great.
And thanks for keeping it locked in. Peace.